Ron, good to see you.
Hi, Leo. How are you? I think this is a first. We're meeting at the November 7th Energy Engineers Association of Energy.
We're not starting all over. We're going to roll with this.
All right, roll it.
It's November 7th, Ron. Where are we today?
We are at the New England Chapter of Association of Energy Engineers Solar and Storage meeting.
Oh, my God. That's a long sentence.
Yeah. And this is a first for us. We're live at the meeting, and we have some special guests tonight.
Yep, good. And there was a board meeting beforehand, right?
We had a board meeting. It was kind of a unique meeting because we spent the whole board meeting trying to accommodate for the meeting space that wasn't reserved at the hotel. So we've been doing this for 20 years, and that's a first where nothing's been reserved. So we actually are ordering out for Bertucci's to ship the food over here to the hotel.
It's a creative and competent group. I'm sure they'll get through it.
Yeah, we're very nimble.
So we've got a couple of gentlemen here from AutoGrid with us today. So, Ron, why don't you do a quick intro overview of your interactions with AutoGrid?
So, yeah, I first found out about AutoGrid. I think I saw some posting or some news clip on Green Tech Media. Mm-hmm. And you folks have contracts with National Grid, Eversource, and quite a few contracts in California. And, Shane, you mentioned even a few in the Midwest. So
Shane O'Quinn.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm Shane O'Quinn. I'm responsible for managing some of our strategic initiatives at AutoGrid. Have been with the company for a couple of years now and worked with a number of competitors in the space doing energy for about close to 20 years now.
Okay, good. And Chris?
Chris Long, Director of Strategic Accounts, a member of Shane's team. Work closely with our accounts in the Northeast and the Midwest as well, too, and have a background in energy software coming from Opower and then Oracle.
Oh, great. And you're based right up here in the Waltham area?
In Boston. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Didn't you work for Rhode Island Energy Office?
I worked for the governor in Rhode Island.
Okay.
A number of years ago.
Okay,
so I worked
good.
For Governor Cheery and then Governor Chafee a long time ago.
And Shane, if you would, just give us a sense of the kind of, who it is that AutoGrid is serving and how it is they're serving that marketplace.
So for us, our primary customer is going to be an energy services provider. So whether it's a regulated utility or whether it's a deregulated entity like a retailer or someone like that, who has a need to be able to provide better engagement with their customers to deliver energy in a more cost-effective manner. So they need software tools in order to do that, whether that's a traditional demand response management system, which many utilities are familiar with, or the more popular DERMS-type platform, Distributed Energy Resource Management System. These are all solutions that we bring to the table based on our big data and analytics platform.
Great. And Chris, are there utilities in the Northeast that you're working with currently?
Yes, absolutely. National Grid is a partner of ours, working with them on a commercial industrial demand response program across Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York, and then also working with Eversource as well, too, on C&I DR programs in Massachusetts and residential DR programs in Connecticut.
Hmm. So in that sense, the utility will serve as the aggregator of demand response, or... Are they going to compete with NL or CPower in the demand response marketplace?
Well, on the CNI side, those aggregators such as the NL, Enernox, CPowers, others are all users of our system.
Got it.
So basically, one of the benefits of our platform is our ability to communicate with all of the various aggregators and the end devices that those aggregators are communicating with.
Okay.
As well.
All right.
And one comment I'll add to that is, I mean, I think the interesting thing is that our platform can support utilities who are wanting to either act as the aggregator themselves, mm-hmm. going directly to end customers, or working with third-party aggregators where those relationships exist. Our system is still the system of record to be able to manage all of that. So in the case of National Grid, for instance, we're sending dispatch signals to about 5 different aggregators who are in turn taking that and disaggregating that signal and communicating to their end customers.
Okay. And this is all done on your software?
Yeah. I mean, our software is the software that, in the case of National Grid, that they're using for managing this entire program. Now, each one of those aggregators, in my example, has their own homegrown software package.
Okay.
Or they could license our package if they choose to do so. And that's the best of both worlds for us, obviously, because then we're at the utility as well as at the deregulated entity.
Okay, good. You mentioned distributed energy resources. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, this is a part of the marketplace that we just see exploding, and it's complicated. And you know, it seems like every piece of it is has trouble connecting with the other piece. Right, so if you're a solar provider and a residential level, you got to fight with net metering issues. If you're a utility, it's a balancing grid load. Mm-hmm. So what is it that that you guys are doing in that distributed energy space?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we're trying to make it easier for utilities to be able to call upon these types of assets and get value out. Yeah, so for me, you know, it's all about being able to enable utilities and other service providers to be able to take advantage of these distributed energy resources in a way that adds value. The difficulties, as you pointed out, are that there's a number of regulatory challenges. There's difficulties around technology in terms of there's no standard for communicating with a myriad of devices from various vendors. There's a lack of clean business models around how people are going to get compensated for participation in various programs, because many of these distributed energy resources are not owned by the utility themselves, they're owned by end customers. And so without those business models, it's very hard for anyone to step up to the plate and say, I want to let you either, you know, control my thermostats or manage my electric vehicle or something to that regard. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're providing the platform so that the utilities at least have a starting foundation to handle a couple of those problems, which are connectivity to the end devices. That's the first thing. Being able to incorporate various business models so that you can optimize how the assets are going to be controlled and communicated. And then we still have to deal with some of the other challenges like the lack of clear business models and the lack of consistent regulation and things like that. But I think those are progressing over time, and they'll continue to get better.
Yeah, good. Hey, Chris, one of the things that Shane led with was your marketplace is some very, very big entities, you know, regulated utilities, and as business partners, they can be challenging because their decision cycles are just so long. So how is that, you know, has it presented a challenge for you guys? Is there ways that you can help accelerate the decision-making process?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly work closely with our utility partners on the regulatory process because that's such an important part of the future of distributed energy resources and the terms process as well. You know, obviously the cycles, as you mentioned, are long, but that's part of the, you know, part of the process that we work closely with them on.
That's why you guys are here, right? Mm-hmm. To keep knocking on that door as long as it takes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been selling into utilities for 20 plus years now, and so I understand that there's long sales cycles. Utilities don't move fast. I think we all know that. But the problems that we're trying to solve are also challenging. And one of the advantages of the fact that things are moving slowly is that the technology is moving at a much faster pace than utilities are willing to adopt. And so what that means is that they're constantly in a mode of evaluating what's out there and looking at what's in the marketplace. And so that creates opportunity and conversations for us to have with those end customers.
Right, right. So let's take that forward a little bit, and it'd be great if you could be specific. So if you look ahead 6 months or a year, are there things from a technology standpoint or a finance standpoint or infrastructure standpoint that are changing that you think utilities and the marketplace should be aware of that and problems that you could help to solve?
Well, you know, I don't know if in that kind of time frame we're seeing as much change happening. I think that some of the things that are happening behind the scenes that utilities may not be fully aware of are there's a lot of conversations around standards that are existing out there through various working groups. A lot of that is being pushed by independent entities like SEPA and others who are trying to change how distributed energy resources can be communicated with and brought to market. And so as that continues to evolve, the utilities may not be participating in that, but we are, because for us, it's very important that we monitor what's happening and in some cases even try to influence that, because we want to make sure that whatever is decided upon makes sense for software platforms like ours to be able to connect with. So I think as that happens, that will start standardizing connectivity to devices a lot more. It'll open up the door for more people jumping on a common bandwagon here to enable control of these entities. It's probably not going to play out in a one-year time frame, but I think, you know, if you asked me 3 to 5 years from now how things will look, it'll be a much different world because of that.
Shane, I would definitely agree. It seems like we're at a tipping point. The most recent ISO New England response to FERC Order 841 it sounded like there may be even some market rules in place as early as next year with regard to the storage and other DERs. So you were definitely at that tipping point where I think you're going to see things move. And you alluded not necessarily fast, but faster than typical.
Yeah, and I mean, I think all of this is happening because there's a lot of external factors which are existing out in the world. There's a lot of pressure to try to change things. And so I'm seeing the ISO is moving a lot faster. I'm seeing other regulatory bodies moving faster. Just the state PUCs are moving quicker these days as it relates to certain entities because they recognize that there's a lot of pressure around being able to incorporate more renewables into the space. And if you're going to do that, you have to have software to be able to control that.
One thing I've noticed is because we deal a lot with the end use customers, they're asking a lot of questions. So they're asking about solar, they're asking about storage. How can it help me? How can I reduce my bills? And you know, our response is, okay, we can do an assessment to see, you know, how storage may impact your demand charge right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, we always follow when the market rules haven't been developed yet. So the market rules are definitely behind what we're seeing in the marketplace that customers really want.
I agree. It's an evolving space, certainly. And I mean, that to add to the point earlier, I mean, I think that's really where the advantageous of a software platform is we're monitoring all that evolution and we're taking the complexity out of it for the energy provider.
Great.
So Shane, that's a great overview of AutoGrid's capabilities. I think it would be really helpful for all of us if you kind of took us through a whole cycle of how you worked with one of your customers to identify a problem and what is it that you delivered for them and how have they seen benefit by that?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, I think the biggest thing that we're seeing more and more is that utilities have traditionally operated with point solutions. So they've had silos where they go to market with a particular program, then another particular program, and yet another. And oftentimes they don't look holistically across all of those programs in terms of how do they manage the various DR or DER assets like a network. And so our software solution is designed to be able to do that. So, for instance, we have one customer, Xcel Energy, which operates across 8 different states. They had a myriad of different DR programs that have been rolled out over many years using a variety of different technologies. Many of those technologies were no longer in existence, no longer being supported by the hardware providers, for instance. And so they came to us and said, we want to be able to consolidate all of this under a single platform so that we have one dashboard that allows us to have visibility into about 9 different DR programs. And those 9 different DR programs totaled about 1,500 megawatts. So it's not immaterial. It's a considerable type asset that you're talking about there. And so we came in, we looked at all of the systems, we looked at the existing DR programs as well as how they wanted to expand those in the future. And we brought to bear a software solution that could enable them to have that one dashboard, that one entrance point for managing all of this. And that's actually quite unheard of in the space because many utilities still think about, I have a CNI DR program over here, or I have a residential thermostat program over here, and the two are not related at all. And so Xcel said, if we want to truly create a situation where we can treat some of these assets and these programs as dispatchable devices based on the location of where they are in order to provide benefits to the distribution grid, we have to be able to have one central communication point. And then the evolution of that is once you take that system that we've deployed, you can then integrate it into something like an advanced distribution management system so that operators in the control room are able to decide, do I want to fire up a peaker plant because of a challenge I'm having on the grid, or do I want to call upon a DR program over here? And historically, that's never happened. That's DR cool. was always done purely to appease the regulators.
Yeah.
So it's a new world that is enabled by software.
Right, and just so complex. And you create, you set up that scenario where 9 different programs and all these legacy systems, and they don't even talk to each other. They fight with each other.
Right.
So you guys are able to layer that so they get some intelligence out of it.
That's the whole idea. And it's not an easy thing to solve. I mean, this is a project with Xcel that's been going on for about 3 years now. We'll hopefully be wrapping it up next year. And I think it'll be the model for other utilities to jump on a similar bandwagon.
That's great. Well, listen, Shane O'Quinn and Chris Long from AutoGrid, want to thank you for joining Energy Matters to you, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.